Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. Australian-made entertainment returns to the podcast with another original piece of theater originating down under. This time, a lovely musical about family, home, and the complicated changes that happen with both, something people of any country can identify with. Here are Matthew Foster, Kathleen Foster, Morgan Cowling, Adam Rennie, Sean Cleary, and Renee Claire Bergeron of Once We Lived Here. Take a listen.
Good day, gents.
Hello, Americans.
We're dead set stoked you've rocked up to the theatre this hour.
We're very excited that you're here at Urban Stages today.
So we'll start with just introducing everybody on the mic. So there's voices to go with names. So we'll start with the returning guests and the director.
Hi, I'm Matt Foster. I'm the director and one of the producers of the show.
I'm Kathleen Foster, and I'm a producer, and I played Amy.
Welcome back, both of you.
Thank you.
And the rest of the cast.
Hi, I'm Sean Cleary. I play Burke.
I'm Renee Claire Bergeron, and I played Clara.
I'm Morgan Cowling, and I played Lisey.
And I'm Adam Rennie, and I play Sean.
The show is Once We Lived Here, and it is amazing, the cultural conversation, I think, that can be had through this show. So this is Australian-made entertainment, and of course this is a play that was written by an Australian playwright. Was it produced in Australia beforehand?
It was, yeah. It was produced by the two guys who wrote it, Dean Bryant, who wrote the lyrics and the book, and Matthew Frank, who was the composer. They produced it themselves in Melbourne in 2009, I believe. And I think this is the only other production that, like, fully produced version of the show, so we're excited to have brought it to New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you did, personally, to see, again, like, there's so much that can, it talks very much to current realities here as well. So can you, somebody give us a rundown of what's going on in this play, just the layman's, hey, come see this show, here's what it's about, what do you say?
Come on, you do it. All right. So
that leaves me put on the spot.
The show is set on a farm in Australia.
Sheep station.
A sheep station, yes, in 2003-ish. And I don't want to give too much away.
It's about a family who are struggling to keep hold of their farm.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of their backstory through flashbacks from 10 years earlier. But essentially it's about... it's about a family.
And there's lots of secrets that are revealed along the way. It's very poignant. It's beautiful.
With the whole secrets thing, it very much has that ring of contemporary drama in many ways. But at the same time, it's so topical. I'm sorry, maybe I shouldn't keep pressing this, but like that's what was so interesting to me. It was like, wow, this is a story that I feel like we can all understand no matter what direction we're coming from in the economic world climate that we're in right now. Man, I don't want this to sound like a Wall Street Journal podcast. I don't really don't want that. It's but I'm just curious to know, like, what your personal relationships were with this sort of play. Like, did you have it's obvious that these are issues that are being wrestled with in Australia as they've been being wrestled with in the United States. But what are your investments as actors in this idea of, do you stay and invest in this thing that has been built up over generations, or do you, for lack of a better term, sell out? Any resonance there? What was your, like, personal reactions to this?
I think it's, for me, what resonated most in the material is that it's a family drama, and it's really doesn't matter if it was set in Australia or in America, that it's really about the relationships and, like, infighting, and some people know certain things about things that have happened to the family, and it's set in a climate of hardship because of things like the drought, but also, like, an economical reasons that put further strain on an already strained family. And so I think what resonated most with me was, like, any family has times when things get hard and you need to, like, buck up and pull together, or maybe some things will fall apart and you need to, or like some, like one person needs to be lifted up. And so I think that no matter where you set that, that rings true, because we all have a family that's been through something at some stage. And so that's for me what was really why I fell in love with this material. And then also there's incredible music to set this to, which really amps up the stakes.
Yeah. That's what kind of drew me in first. When I saw the audition notice, I listened to the music online and really was blown away by what Matt and Dean had created, because I hadn't seen any of their productions because I'd already moved here by the time they'd been produced back home. But the Far As The Eye Can See, when I saw that on YouTube, I was like, oh, sold. I want to be in this show. So yeah, I was fortunate enough to be cast by these lovely people. And no, I think, you know, everyone relates to these family members in their own special way. And I don't know, I don't think I'm like my character at all. But I related as soon as I read the script. It was just, yeah.
It's also really lovely to sing in an Australian accent, which is something as actors as you,
really
well, for
hard.
Almost all of us.
No,
for as an Australian actor, you basically never get to use your own voice. So there's something also really nice about hearing our accent sung and acted on stage. I think it's rare and a gift when you get to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful to remark upon. I think maybe that's what I was getting at when I was trying to say that this is, I loved that there was a cultural conversation going on, because even though it wasn't a very, you even gave us a little glossary in the program of certain, I have a very good Aussie friend who was in your last show who has taught me a few of these terms. So it was very cool to get that sense of home that wasn't my home,
yeah.
But it still felt like home. So that was a really beautiful, like, again, like it felt like a dialogue that you were having with us.
I think that's one of the things that I've noticed about living in New York, being such a diverse population. Like, everyone comes to live in New York, so it's, I mean, yes, there are people who were born and raised in New York who are, you know, true New Yorkers, but it's like you talk to so many people in New York and they're all from somewhere else, and New York is just where their career is or where they've, you know, come to live for a while. So home is somewhere else, and I feel like, you know, for Kat and I especially, and the other Aussies in the cast, we've moved here from a very long way away. So home is a long way away, but it's something that other people in New York, it's like a common kind of conversation, as you say, that people have with each other. Well, yeah, we all live here in New York, but home is somewhere else.
And one of the themes that you were talking about as well, in that, you know, do you stay around and try to salvage what you've built when it's, you know, about to just die, or do you move on? Like, that seems like something as well. Like, one of the themes in this is about home. It's all about home, and really, what is home? It's when you're with people that you love and you're doing, you know, what you want to do with those people. So in this, maybe, like, if in the end they do decide to sell up, it isn't always a bad thing to do that if you're doing it for the right reasons. And I guess for us, because we did move far from home, we're here, and it's not our home where we were born, but it is still our home now. So home is where you are and where your heart is. That's what I think the essence of this is. What is home?
Sean, you were about to jump in there. Do you have some more thoughts on that?
Oh, just when you were talking about the conversation, and my cast members were very sort of diplomatic and were very reverent to sticking to the material. But for me, the biggest thing, once I was already on board, was just kind of how swept up I got in to the whole idea of kind of being immersed in this little island of Australia that we had going on in the rehearsal room every day. And my housemate was saying that he didn't understand me anymore, because the vernacular, I was getting wrapped up in that. And these strange coincidences happened. We were all swapping stories of how long we'd waited at the Australian embassy a couple of weeks ago to vote in the federal election. So these things just, and that is one of the themes, is that you can't, like, sort of on a different tangent to what Kat was just saying, one of the themes of the piece is that you can move away, you can do something else, but there's a part of you that will always be what you were from that very those very formative years. Mm. And that was never more true than stepping into this material where, as Adam was saying, we're suddenly singing in an Australian accent and we're using all these turns of phrases that we've tried to lose because we're trying to sort of blend in here. And so a couple of days before we open, I get this email from my mother because I'm sending her a few of the little bits and pieces on the show to let her know what's going on. And she said, well, yeah, once you lived here, meaning Australia, as opposed to, you know, a take on the title. And so along with our honorary Australian in the cast, that for me has been much more powerful than I expected it to be able to sort of fly the flag here. Mm. You know, I got to be honest, I jumped on board because I was right type-wise. My normal way of speaking is correct for this piece anyway, and a few other things like that. And it never occurred to me that it was also, on another level, a way of showing some national pride. Mm.
It definitely, you should be proud of what you showed. Definitely. Most definitely. I want to get back to the honorary Aussie, though, that statement. So, Renee, what can you tell us? How was that experience?
When I came to the first rehearsal, I was pretty terrified to even attempt the little bit of accent work that I had done. But these guys are so welcoming and so supportive that people were willing to come over and sit in the park and run lines or help me pronounce words. And I've sort of had to embrace the Australian way of life, which for me has turned into...
Yeah, I was about to say, what does that mean?
Well, it seems to be about food.
Maybe.
Meat pies and wedges.
Oh, wedges. And minties.
Yeah. And, you know, learning the vernacular and walking around the house talking in the accent. And it's been such a great experience that these guys are all so far away from home. And I'm thinking, gosh, I'd really like to go to Australia. I wonder if I could move there. So maybe some kind of cultural exchange program. Or
Once you will live.
Yeah, exactly. Once you will live here will be our next show.
So we kind of touched upon it, but I didn't really make it clear in the introduction to this. It's a musical with some really great music in the show and beautifully sung. What was your rehearsal process like to the just all that blend? The blend of voices was gorgeous. So I'm sure that was something you took into account when casting. How did you work that through rehearsal? I feel like you've been working on this for months.
Well, we cast really good people to begin with.
Always a great start.
And we had a great musical director in Michael Hopewell, who led all the music side of things. We started rehearsals, I guess, a month before we opened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we started with the music, so we...
Just a month?
We got the... Mm-hmm. I think that's about right, yeah.
Yeah,
5 weeks.
About a month.
And as you're saying this, I am having flashbacks to the last podcast because I think you mentioned we're just going to keep pushing forward. We're going to get bigger next time. We're doing a musical, and now this is that musical, and it's
right.
You're right. You did up the ante for Australian Made Entertainment.
Well, and I think the reason is we wanted to do a musical because Kat did a lot of musical theater back home.
And has a gorgeous singing voice, so it's good. Show off your talents. You should.
And she's pregnant, which is not a secret.
No.
So we wanted to do. She wanted to do a musical before we became parents and may not do another show for 20 years. I don't know.
20 years. Come off.
So yeah, it became a race, but it became a chance to find a good Australian musical, which, you know, there aren't that many Australian musicals out there, apart from, you know, Priscilla and The Boy from Oz, which we didn't quite have the capacity or the funds to produce.
And we did come across quite a few lovely smaller musicals mm-hmm. like this, but this definitely said Australia more than right. anything else mm-hmm. we saw. And that's what we wanted. Like, that's what Australian Made Entertainment tries to do.
Yeah.
We fell in love with it. It's beautiful.
From your reaction to the 20 years comment, it sounds like you have a bit of Amy in you.
Just a little bit. Not the boy genes, though.
Boy, J-E-A-N-S.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Don't have any boy G-E-N-E-S either. Well, I could. I don't know.
Congratulations, by the way. That was a total surprise to me, too. Congratulations. That's really great. To you both.
Yes, she was very worried about not looking pregnant, but nobody has noticed. I mean, you know, 3 months. And there's a line in the show where they're talking about when Claire was pregnant with Amy, and Claire says that she never showed till the 6 month, and Amy has a line that's like, well, they must have guessed if they had any brains.
Yeah.
So every night you're like, who in the audience knows? Who in the audience knows? Did we just insult the entire audience? So great work, all of you. This was super cool to watch. And again, thank you. I did feel like I was having a bit of a cultural experience. And that almost sounds cliche and stupid to say, I'm digging myself a hole. I don't mean it in a cliche way. It definitely felt like, wow, I'm really seeing a slice of Australian life, and I'm identifying in very strong ways. I come from a farming family, so this makes a lot of sense in a lot of strange ways. So.
Yeah, and as Kat said, you know, that's kind of what what we set out the company to do, to kind of introduce Americans to Australian culture and, you know, theater in particular, but through the material that we present, the culture of how we live and how we are. So I'm glad that you felt that experience.
Like, this sounds really just stupid to say. Sorry, I kind of doubted myself there, but thank you for a beautiful show, all of you.
Thank you.
We're at Urban Stages. You're here through September 29th, and more information is at australianmadeentertainment.com.
That is correct.
Okay. I always never remember the com or org. Thanks again, y'all. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you,
Matt, Kathleen, Sean, Morgan, Renee, and Adam for hanging out after the show to chat. And many congrats to you, Matt and Kathleen, on your wonderful news. You can catch Once We Lived Here at Urban Stages through September 29th, 2013, Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. Tickets and more information are available at AustralianMadeEntertainment.com. Thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please like it on Facebook, facebook.com/GoSeeAShow. Follow @GoSeeAShow on Twitter and rate and or comment on the show's iTunes page. And don't forget, for everyone in the off-Broadway scene in New York, Go See a Show is helping to spread the word about some great, affordable rehearsal space in Manhattan, just $10 an hour. If your company or project is looking for space, get in touch with me. You can contact me with questions about this affordable rental opportunity, along with any comments, suggestions, praise, or complaints by email. Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, @GoSeeAShowPodcast.com. Until next time, go see a show.
Sweet. See? Painless. Simple. Yay. Thank you all very much.